We pray that you will be blessed and empowered by listening to this recording from Patricia King Ministries. Before you begin listening, please remember that this recording is copyrighted and cannot be replicated. This file is licensed for one user only and cannot be duplicated without written permission. Thanks again for connecting with Patricia King Ministries. The Lord loves you, and so do we.
I want to share a story with you about how I became acquainted with this ministry. And I was saved in the Charismatic Renewal Jesus People movement, and it was a glorious salvation, very dramatic salvation, and there was so much going on, you know, when your sins are forgiven and you're a brand new creation in God, and people are getting filled with the Holy Spirit all the time, and the prophetic is flowing, and all those good things that were part of the Charismatic Renewal. You just kind of, you know, get inside of that realm and get immersed in it, and it was just so beautiful. And so as a young Christian, I was just in that for a couple or 3 years or so. And then I started hearing about the Word Faith movement. And when I heard about that as a young Christian, I heard that some of the leaders were speaking very negative about it and very critical. And I did not know how to rightly divide that. You just kind of hear from people, and it's so tempting to buy into a lie or to buy into things that you don't understand. And so I started thinking, wow, this Word Faith stuff must be really bad, you know, for these leaders to be speaking against it. And one of the names that came up was Kenneth Copeland. And then it was like, that Kenneth Copeland, man, he is deceiving the church. And, you know, the devil's all over him, and you better stay away from him. So I just thought, well, you know, if the devil's all over Kenneth Copeland, I better pray that he just gets out of the church or something, you know? I did not know the difference on praying a prayer of blessing or cursing, you know? I hadn't been taught that yet. So I'm in my prayer chair one day, and I'm praying and praying up a storm and asking for God's kingdom to come, his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And by the way, Lord, you know that Kenneth Copeland guy, you better, you know, get him out of the church, you know. And I was just trying to get him out because he's deceiving your people. And I'm just pretty proud of my connection with God and that I'm helping God out in this. And the Lord speaks to me in my prayer time, inner audible voice, and he says, Kenneth Copeland is my man. And I said, he's your man? I thought the devil sent him, you know? And he said to me, you are judging what you do not understand. And it was just a little while later that Kenneth Copeland was actually going to be coming into the Vancouver area. We were in Canada, and you know, I'm Canadian, and you know, we lived up in Canada until the last 15 years. But anyways, he was coming up into the Vancouver area, and the Lord says, you have to go, and you have to hear him. You are judging what you don't understand. And so he said, take your Bible with you and judge every word. And so I did. I went, and I was so blown away. I was so blown away. Every single thing that came out of his mouth was so rich and so powerful and so deep and so full of the wisdom of God. And I was filled that day with a spirit of faith. I was filled with the spirit of faith that day. And I left that meeting thinking that I could move mountains. I could do anything. I could call those things that are not as though they are. And it would help. I mean, we were so filled. I took a friend with me. And I became a partner with Kenneth Copeland Ministries that day up in Canada. And have been a partner ever since then, by the way. And it was just really an extraordinary experience. I never had the power of the word so, you know, filling me. I was impregnated with that word. So anyways, we go out to the parking lot, and the car I was driving at the time, it had a flat tire. But we were so full of faith that I just said, well, I'll call those things that are not as though they are, you know? And so I just looked at the tire, and I said to my friend, in the name of Jesus, we just believe and we receive that this tire is full. No, it didn't look like it was filling at all, but we had been taught, don't be moved by what you see, you know? Be moved by the word, right? So I said, praise the Lord, look at that, the tire's full, right? And my friend says, yeah, the tire's full. So we got into the car, and we started driving off. And we're driving down the street, and the car's going ka-plunk, ka-plunk, you know? And we come to a stoplight, and this guy comes up beside us, and he's saying, your tire, it's, you know, it's flat. I said, no, it's fine. It's just great. Everything's okay. Woo! You know? And so then we drive off to the next one. He comes up beside us on the next one. He said, your tire, it's flat. You know, it's okay, man. We're fine, you know? And he finally pulls us over, and he says, lady, he says, you're driving on the rim. And I said, well, not really, because, you know, I didn't want to confess anything negative, you know. And so he just happened to have everything that we needed to have a new tire put on the car, and he changed it and did it. So you see, what we were believing for actually happened, just in a different way than what we thought. Got a brand new tire. And I just love this ministry so much. And they have so much integrity. I have followed them over the years. I've devoured, you know, through their television programs and their, I mean, back in those days, I would stock up on those tapes and books and listen to them over and over, because there was such a spirit of faith, and it was all grounded and founded in the Word of God with so much integrity. And I know that there was a great opposition against the prosperity message in that day. And maybe some of you in this room still feel that way, because I still hear sometimes really negative things being said. Oh, yeah, that's just a prosperity message. Well, what do you want, a poverty message? You know, really? You know, what's the alternative? But I remember Kenneth Copeland prophesying in the midst, like, just, you know, as the recession was coming in, he was prophesying the church into its place of abundance, and that's exactly what happened. We soared during those years, you know, when we could have gone right down the tube, but the Word of God was prophesied out and declared with so much faith and so much integrity that it actually brought the church through those times. And I feel that so often we judge what we don't understand. That's what I did. That was my fault, you know, before God being so merciful. I wish I could say that was the last time that I made that mistake, but I'll just quickly say that after that move, I was getting very established, not only in what I learned in the charismatic renewal, but also in the word faith. And I was saying, wow, I'm on the word. I got the faith. I got the spirit, got the prophetic, got the tongues, got, you know, I mean, this is awesome. Evangelism, all of that. And then the Vineyard movement came in, and you know, it was kind of weird, because they just seemed so, you know, they weren't on the word. They were talking about feelings and emotions. And, you know, even the songs were about I feel and stuff like that. And I thought, oh, that's got to be bad. And I heard some bad reports about it, saying that John Wimber guy, he's, you know, got some issues. So I was in my prayer again saying, God, you know, this John Wimber guy, he's trouble for the body. Are you going to do something about him? And the Lord spoke to me again. He says, you are judging what you don't understand. I thought, oh, no, I heard that before. So I repented from that, and I gleaned the most amazing things from the Vineyard movement. And I wish I could say that was the last time I did it. But then Toronto came in 1994, and oh my gosh, you know, I flew in there at the request of John Arnott and Mary Audrey Raycroft, and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, this is for sure a deception has entered the church. And I don't know why I thought I had to save the church from deception. I think Jesus is able to have the tares removed in the right time if there are any. And, but yeah, you know, I just did the same thing, and I won't go into the whole story. It's really funny, actually. But the Lord spoke to me again. He says, you are judging what you don't understand. And so again, I repented and I said, oh God, please let that be the last time. He is so merciful, but I think I learned so much just to weigh up and be careful. And then people started saying that I was the deceiver of the church. I went through 9 years of that persecution, so it was kind of awesome, actually. Thinking, well, that's what it feels like, you know? But I just want to encourage all of you, you know, we have so much to learn about God. His word says that his ways are past finding out. It's going to take us all eternity to unpack it all. And we all carry something so precious, and we need to honor each other in that and bless each other in that. And some of the things that we don't even feel are correct maybe right now, according to our theological interpretation, we might actually just change our mind in the future when the Holy Spirit shows us an enlargement of something that we never looked at before. And then other things are just going to burn up. They will burn up. And I'm not saying throw out discernment. Of course, we have to discern according to the word of God. But sometimes, you know, we just don't get the fuller picture. And so I want to encourage you, don't go down the path I went. You know, just be open to God and weigh up everything according to his word and be open and don't judge what you don't understand. And there might be some of you, even in this room tonight, that you have actually done that. Even with maybe with the Word Faith movement or with the prosperity message or, you know, with the renewal movement, you might be here tonight and think, oh my gosh, these renewal prophetic people are bizarre and we better pray about this. Don't, you know, but just let's just enjoy each other and ask God to reveal the value in each one and the beauty in each one. And I was so... Gloria, I was so touched that you accepted this invitation. And, you know, they pray over every invitation. And they prayed and the Lord told them to come. And I thought, oh, Lord, I feel so honored. I've been wanting to meet them forever. And I just so love and honor them. And Kelly is here too. And Kelly, you are so beautiful. And the heart that you have for God is so amazing. And just spending a little bit of time with you today and just the way that you express Jesus and his love is so awesome. And, you know, you're just on the front lines too. It's just beautiful. Your family is beautiful, Gloria. And I want us all to stand and honor this awesome woman of God and her ministry. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that warm welcome. Hallelujah. Thank you. That's very kind. I'm usually got something to hold this, so I'm not sure I can manage two Bibles and a notebook and hold the mic. But we'll see. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be here. I've been here before, and I've enjoyed it, and I know it's a great church. We'll just take some time tonight to look at the Word. I'm going to speak tonight on faith. You know, everything. All right. Are y'all making fun of me? They are. Well, I tell you, I remember what it was like not to know how to use faith. And I really never could get into poverty and enjoy it, or sickness and enjoy it, or driving an old car and enjoy it. I never did enjoy that. So when we began to hear about the blessing and the increase and the glory, we jumped in it. And we've never jumped out of it. That's been about 50 plus years now, and we're staying with it. So I thought that I'd just share some things on faith with you tonight that we've we've learned, which you know most of them, but you know, I find about faith, you need to stay on the cutting edge. Because it's so easy to get an unbelief and go, because most of the people probably that you work with in a normal situation, they don't know anything about faith. And they're, you know, just doing the best they can do with what they know. But with faith, you can do the best you can do with what you do know. And it makes a lot of difference. So I thought I would just talk a little bit about that today. The one key thing, there's just certain words that just come alive to you, and they just open up your heart, your spirit to see things. And I've discovered that the word take is like that in faith. The word faith takes it. We learn that if you don't take it when you pray, you're not getting any supernatural action. If you go to prayer and you whine and cry, you know, carry on because you're not getting anything, and you're just desperate, and oh, I don't know what we're going to do, that's not faith. So what the name of the message tonight is, faith takes it. Faith takes it. Hallelujah. Believe you receive it when you pray. That word receive is to take it. Believe you receive it when you pray. When we pray and we don't take it, we just ask for it, or maybe we whine about what bad things happening and all that, and we don't take the answer, we haven't used any faith yet. And it takes faith to move the mountain. Isn't that what the Bible says? Faith will move the mountain, but just letting it stay there won't move anything. So we're going to talk a little bit about faith takes it. Faith takes it and patience keeps it. It takes some patience to keep it. We'll start off with, I'll just tell you a few things here. One of them is about patience. I've got a note here that says, faith with patience wins. Everything doesn't happen. You can be the greatest faith person in the world, and you're not always going to get instant results. You know, somebody might have been in 50 years getting in debt, and now they want to be on faith and get out in 2 weeks. It's probably not going to happen. But it will happen eventually if you'll stay with it. That's what Ken and I found out. By the way, he's in Africa tonight, and I'm in Arizona. But he's coming home Sunday. If you want to live in victory, you'll have to live in faith. What is faith? Faith believes it receives what it sees in the Word. If I see that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, I'm going to fight for that healing. I'm going to believe for it. I'm going to ask for it. You ask the Father for what you want. And then the Bible teaches us to believe we receive it when we pray, and we'll have it. So after we believe we receive it, we talk like it, we act like it, we expect it. Whether it's money, whether it's a car, whether it's children, we believe we receive it and we keep it in Jesus' name. Amen. Until it's manifest. Now, Ken and I have been at this a lot of years. 50 years, as a matter of fact. And we have believed God for a lot of things, a lot of big things, little things. And you know God's faithful. When you're in faith and you ask in faith and you ask based on the Word of God, if you'll stay with it, you'll get it. You might not get it in 24 hours, but if you'll stay with it, you'll get it. And that's what we found out. And also, faith makes all things possible. Glory to God. Faith changes everything. There's a scripture that says, in the time of trouble, the Lord will take me up. Isn't that a great scripture? In other words, He'll get in on my deal. He'll help me. He'll get in this thing with me. In a time of trouble, the Lord will take me up. And Psalms 27, 5 and 6 says that we're hidden. He'll hide us. And then Psalm 27, 13, and 14 says, what would have become of me if I had not believed to see the glory of God? I shudder to think about that. What would have become of me if we'd have never learned how to use our faith? Not much. We'd just be doing what we were doing before we learned faith. We were working. We were trying to get ahead. We were trying to get out of debt, and not much was happening. But when we began to apply faith, things changed. It didn't leave us the way it found us. Hallelujah. And it'll work for you too. How does faith come? Well, the scripture says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we know faith's a good thing, or it wouldn't be in the word of God. The more you hear the word and receive it like it is true, because it is true, it's supernatural, spoken by God, the more you do that, the easier it'll be for you to receive what you need, what you want. It doesn't even have to be a need if it's a good thing. And, having a good car is a good thing. Having a good house is a good thing. I wanted a house. Ken wanted an airplane. He could live at the hangar or somewhere, but he wanted that airplane. Well, of course, eventually we got all of it. And we got it by faith. We didn't borrow money for it. We found in the scripture not to borrow money. So now we got to live by faith. There's no choice here. So faith with patience wins. If you want to live in victory, you'll have to live in faith. You cannot live in unbelief and walk in victory. The scripture says this is the victory that overcomes the world, and everything in it, in other words, that it overcomes the world, even our faith. You know, somebody else can't overcome for you continually. You'll have to learn how to use your own faith if you want to be free and be an overcomer. People can help you. People can minister to you. When we're dealing with people that don't know anything, of course, we can help them. But sooner or later, they're going to have to get their own faith going, or they're never going to walk in victory. So this is the victory that overcomes the world, the scripture says, even our faith. Hallelujah. I like that. I'd rather be an overcomer than be beat up. I tried both of them. Okay, the scripture says faith. I'm saying this. Faith with patience wins. If you want to live in victory, you'll have to live in faith. That's just the way it is. This is the victory, the scripture says, that overcomes the world. And when you get into walking by faith, you'll find out that you have to talk right, say right. If you say unbelief, you're not in faith. But if you talk faith, you'll be in faith. And so the scripture says in Proverbs 6:2, you're snared by your words. Your words are important. Ken and I don't talk negative. We don't believe negative. We believe we're healed. We believe we're prosperous. If we have trouble, if something tries to come on our body, we believe we're healed of whatever it is, and we take it. You know that we'll talk about it later, I'm sure, but scripture says, believe you receive when you pray. That's when you pray, you believe you receive. Well, if you looked up the word receive in the Greek, you would see that that word means to take. So when you go to prayer, you take what you're asking for. You just don't go into the throne room begging God for something. You've got to believe you receive the answer based on the word of God. If it's healing, you find out that he bore your sicknesses and carried your diseases. And by his stripes you were healed. And you take it. I was healed. I'm not having this fever. I'm not having this situation. Jesus himself bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases. And that's just the way you live by faith. Now, if you're going to be a wimp, you'll never make it. Faith with patience wins. If you want to live in victory, you will have to yield or live in faith. And you're snared by your words. You can ask God for something, feel pretty good about it, believe you receive it, and then start talking in a couple of days like you don't have it. or I don't know why I didn't get that, or this is not working for me, or I never have a good job, or I don't know why. My car has always got something wrong with it. You're in big trouble. And you know what the trouble is? It's this hole under your nose. You got to walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. So if you're believing God for a car, see yourself with that car. Go look at cars. See yourself with that car. Find one you like. Say, I'm taking that one. I believe. You don't tell him that. You just say that. I'm taking it. Father, I'm asking you for this car. I'm asking you to get me this car or one like it. I believe I receive when I pray. You know, the Bible says if you believe you receive it when you pray, you can have it. See, we just need to do what the Bible says. So you believe you receive when you pray. Now, when Ken and I were married, 55 years ago, we didn't have any money. I mean, we had maybe $10. You know, we just didn't have a good car. We didn't have a good house. We just didn't have anything. And so we grew up in the Word. We began to hear. We started listening to Brother Hagin, and we learned how to live by faith. And when we first began to listen to him, we were living in Tulsa, and Ken was at ORU, and of course, Brother Hagin was in Tulsa. And so we went to his seminars. He'd have one every quarter, 10 days, and Ken and I'd go, and we learned how to live by faith. I want you to know we didn't keep an old car very long. We had had that one for a good while, but now we found something out. We didn't stay in our little house very long. We began to believe God for a house, hallelujah, and whatever else we need. We believe God for our healing. We learn how to use our faith. And a key to that is, the scripture says, believe you receive when you pray. When you pray, and the word receive, as I said, means take it. When you pray and you ask God for your healing or whatever it is, the salvation of your children or whatever it is, and you ask him for that, now you say, I believe I receive it. You've asked the Father, I believe I receive it. I have it. It's mine. And from then on, you talk like it's yours. You can't talk unbelief and walk with faith. It's easy to do because it doesn't always happen. Things don't always happen instantly. But you'll get it if you'll stay with it. And so we begin to learn how to live by faith. And that's been a lot of years ago. And everything, you know, now we're in a worldwide ministry, so you got to have something more than a little project house to have your office in. And so we began to believe God. We had to believe God building by building, vehicle by vehicle, personnel by personnel. I mean, it works if you'll do it. If you don't do it, it's not going to do anything for you. But I would not want to go back to not living by faith. That was the pits. Old car, old house, old clothes, old nothing. Ken, of course, he's a pilot, you know, and he's an airplane person. And he, when we first started learning how to believe God, well, he wanted an airplane. I wanted a car or a house or something practical, but no, he wanted an airplane. What did he do? I don't know how many airplanes he's had since then, probably 10, maybe more. How did he get it? He paid cash for it. We don't borrow money. We didn't borrow money for anything because we learned how to believe God. It's possible to live by faith and not by debt. And it works. It's a lot cheaper when you don't have to pay interest. Amen? And all things are possible to who? To him that believes. So it's a choice. Now, you can't do it on your own. You've got to get the word in your eyes and in your ears and down in your heart so that you believe it and you begin to act on faith. You know, the first car we bought and paid cash for, I think was, maybe $60. Well, we've had a lot of cars since then. And you grow up. You know, if you learn, if you go down and you buy this car or something, even clothes, you buy a new suit, and you've up to now been paying, you know, charging it, and you didn't have, because you didn't maybe have the money to spare to buy it. Well, you go buy, you start paying cash, and God will teach you how to live that way. Ken and I have done this for over 50 years, and we have lacked for nothing. We've had cars, houses, airplanes. Ken's over in Africa right now trying to come home in his airplane. You have to have things. You need things. You need a car. If you got a job, you got to go to it some way. And so you need to get into, you need to get under some good teaching on faith and study the scriptures on faith and begin to, you know, when we began, we believe in God for what we needed. Our children were small. We lived in a little rent house in Tulsa, and Ken was at the time enrolled at ORU, and we didn't have any money. So we did the best we could. And, you know, we saw in the scripture it said stay out of debt, so we decided we weren't going to borrow any more money after when we saw that. And that's the way we've run our lives. We everything we saw in the Word was not good news to us. Stay out of debt was about the worst news I ever heard. Because we didn't have any money and we didn't have anything worth anything. Didn't have a good house or a good car. But we committed to it and we stayed with it. And it worked. And you know, the result is it's been years and years and years since we've lacked anything. Because we learned how to walk by faith and not by sight. And God is all for us and you being blessed, having what you need. Everybody needs a good house to live in, a good car to drive, good job. Everybody needs to know how to use faith for your children. Kids sometimes have to take a lot of faith. You think, what can we do in this situation? This boy is nuts. The girl's crazy. They're not doing right. We know they're not doing right. And yet we don't know what to do about it. What do? You break the power of the devil over them. And you believe you receive their salvation and deliverance. And you don't change. And you believe God and ask Him to put laborers across their paths. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So faith with patience wins. But we learned if you can't walk by faith and say unbelief. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we've got to get faith in our eyes, in our ears, get the Word of God down in our heart in abundance, and let it come out our mouth and be applied to the things we want changed in our lives. Amen? That's just the way it works. It works. If you want to live in victory, you'll have to live in faith. Proverbs 6:2 says, "You're snared by the words of your mouth." And the Amplified says, "You're caught by the speech of your mouth." Now, you can't. It doesn't do any good to go to prayer, ask God for something, and then go away from your place of prayer and say, "I don't." You know, a week goes by, 2 weeks goes by. You say, "Well, I guess we're not. We're just not ever going to have that house that we need. We're just." Nothing's happening. I don't know what we're going to do. We don't have a job. We don't seem to be doing well. You're just killing yourself with your words. You start telling, if you're believing God for a job, you ask Him, "Lord, I'm asking for whatever kind of job you want. Believe you receive it. Take it when you pray. And then say, I have it. I have it. I have it. I have that. I have the best job I've ever had." Instead, what will people do in the natural? They'll just stay up nights talking negative about, "Nothing ever works for me. I don't ever get a good job. I never get a break." No, you never will either. So, I mean, this is just real life. This is just the way it works. If you want to live in victory, you'll have to live in faith. You'll have to get your words to match what you want to come to pass. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:2, you're snared by your words. You're snared by the words of your mouth. Amplified says, you're caught by the speech of your mouth. And that's exactly right. The temptation, when things aren't going right, or when you're sick, or when you need money, or whatever, the temptation is to talk it. Tell every friend you've got what bad shape you're in. And I don't know what we're going to do. We've got all these bills due, and we just don't have the money. Shut up, for one thing. That'd be a good start. Just put a zipper in it. And replace it with the Word of God. Amen? I'll just ask for y'all's testimony. How many of you have ever asked the Lord for something really big that it took all the faith you had to believe you received it? And you got it. Let me see your hands. Now look at that. See, I'm telling you, it works. Where would you ever find that many people in church that would lie about a thing? It works. So, there you have it. That's a good testimony. You're snared by your words, and you're set free by your words, and that's just the way it is. Faith takes a promise. Hallelujah. Jesus won the battle, and we get the prize. Now, the fig tree is a famous situation in Mark 11. You remember Jesus went, and this is a key thing that helped us to learn about what faith does and how it acts. Jesus walked by the fig tree, and there was nothing on it. He was hungry. And so he said to this tree, no man eat fruit of you again forever. Think about that now. And the disciples heard him. So they went on about their way. The disciples were with him. When they all came back by that fig tree, this is in Mark 11, and you need to really get acquainted with it because it helps you. They came by that fig tree, and the Bible says it had dried up from the roots. So when Jesus spoke to it and said, no man eat fruit of you again forever, you couldn't see any change. But down where the roots were, they already were beginning to dry up. And when they came back through, the fig tree was just withered up. Now that's the way it is with situations in our lives. That's why it takes patience to inherit the promises. In your patience, you wait and you stop. You refuse to get in unbelief, and you stay with your words of your mouth being what you want to come to pass. I do not say things I don't want to come to pass. I believe the Bible teaches us in Mark 11 that we can have what we say. So I'm not going to say things I don't want to come to pass. And I am going to say things I do want to come to pass. So when Ken and I were starting out, we didn't have any money and couldn't buy a house and all that. But we started believing God. Now, I wanted a house. Ken, he's the airplane man. He could live in his airplane. We don't really need the house first. But I did not agree with that. So I was believing God for a house. He's believing God for an airplane. And we got both of them, of course. Had several each since then. But it's just the way it works. Faith's real. And if you'll get an understanding that your words count, what you say counts. When you talk sickness and you talk we're going broke and I don't know what we're going to do. If you don't know what you're going to do about finances, get in the Bible and find out what God says about it and do it. First of all, are you tithing? Tithing? Are you kidding? We're hardly buying groceries. Well, I'm not surprised. You're not getting the tither's blessing. When you tithe, you're getting God in on your deal. And besides that, even if you got no return from it, the Bible teaches you to do it. But you'll get a great return. The tither's blessing's huge. Sower's blessing's big. You sow and you get return. You get increase. Glory to God. That's just the way it works. Now you can stay and If you like poverty, you may have all of it. It's real easy to come by. All you have to do is just don't work. And it'll come upon you, the scripture says. That's how it says it. It'll come upon you. So anyway, the word works. That, you know, the same thing's true with your healing. You find the healing scriptures, and you go over the healing scriptures, and you know where they are. At the first sign of a symptom of or a pain or something trying to come on your body, you don't think about the doctor first. You think about the Word of God first. You think about, by His stripes I was healed. Glory to God. And none of those diseases will come up on me in Jesus' name. You rebuke the pain. You rebuke the sickness. You can go to the doctor if you want to, but you can learn how to just live well. Of course, it involves a lot. You have to quit eating junk and, you know, things like that hurt you. Quit smoking. Quit doing drugs. How can you live in divine health and do drugs? It just won't work. So if you want to live in victory, you will have to live in faith, and you'll have to live in obedience, and you'll have to talk right. You can't talk unbelief and be blessed. You can't talk lack and be blessed. You can't talk sickness and live well. The scripture says this in Proverbs 6:2. You're snared by your words. And that is the truth. When Ken and I were learning to live by faith, that was the first thing we learned, was to get our words in line with what we wanted to come to pass. We quit talking negative. We quit talking doubt. We quit talking lack. And we got with the program. And we started talking a new car, a new house, healing. And it all happened. Why? Because it's a biblical thing. That's just the way it is. You're snared by the words of your mouth, Amplified says. You're caught by the speech of your mouth. Faith, here's the way faith works. Faith finds the promise in the scripture and takes it. Now, if I were praying for something today I didn't have, let's just say I was needing a car and I don't have the money, and I'm asking God for a car. So I'd ask the Father, Lord, I'm asking you to give me a car. And I believe I receive it when I pray. I'm letting my faith go. I'm using my faith. And I believe, this is in the scripture, I believe I receive my new car. And I thank you for it. So I just went in from asking into thanksgiving. Yeah. I believed I received it now. And so I'm going to be thankful for it. Yes. I'm going to see myself going to the grocery store in that new car. I'm going to see myself driving that new car. When Ken and I were believing for our first car, we only had about nothing money, so we had to buy just a little nothing. And then, you know, the headliner was hanging down and all that. And so, but we took that car and we didn't have to walk anymore. We were grateful for that. So we kept going. We increased and kept increasing, you know, got us another car. I don't know how many cars we've had by now. But that's the way it works. I'm getting the point over to you, endeavoring to at least, that you don't quit when you take on a faith project. You stay with it. You believe you receive it, you take it, and you say it. I have it. If you're believing for your healing, you quit moaning and groaning and telling everybody you're sick and carrying on, and you just believe you receive your healing and you do everything you know to do that helps that situation, that's good. But you don't claim that sickness anymore. I'm healed. If you have to take medicine, say, all right, here's your spoon. I'm taking this. I believe I receive my healing in Jesus' name. Apply healing. Apply faith to your medicine. Don't ever take medicine without praying over it. Dear me. Apply faith to the car that you need. Go down and look at cars. Believe you pick out what you want. And believe you receive it. And then ask the Lord for it. And keep that picture of that car in front of your eyes. This is the car. This car is mine. I've believed. I've received it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And it'll work for you. That's just the way faith works. We have belief for buildings, airplanes, cars, healing, children. You got wild children? Break the power of the devil over them and believe you receive their deliverance. Amen. I'm telling you, this works. This stuff works. And so that's just the way you live. Jesus saw that fig tree and he said, he came by, they should have been in season, but they weren't there. And he said to that fig tree, now here's all the disciples walking along with him. And he wanted a fig. There were no figs on the fig tree, but there should have been. And he said to that tree, no man eat fruit of you again forever. And he kept walking. The next day they came by and the disciples were amazed. The fig tree had dried up from the roots. From the ground up, the sucker died. Jesus told it to. He said, no man eat fruit of you again forever. Now that's the way we learn to talk to things that we don't want to in our lives. Like, you're getting rid of your cigarettes. Okay, I'm asking the Lord to help me get rid of these cigarettes. I ask you, Lord, I believe I receive my deliverance in Jesus' name. You take the cigarettes and you say, I'll never again smoke this cigarette. The Lord will help me. Or whatever it is. Maybe you dip snuff. It's a terrible habit. Do yourself and your wife a favor and quit dipping. I was raised with snuff dippers. My grandmother had three more sisters, and so there were four girls in all. Well, most all of them, except one, dip snuff. It's an awful habit. Not to mention cigarettes will put you in the grave early. So quit it. Take those things and say, I will never again smoke a cigarette in the name of Jesus. So help me, God. Amen. And you know what will happen? God will help you. Because he doesn't like them either. So, to live in victory, we've got to live in faith. And Proverbs says we're snared by the words of our mouth. So, we have to talk in faith when we're on a faith project or even when we're not. We don't, Ken and I don't talk anything we don't want to come to pass. We don't claim it. We don't say, this is going to happen or that's going to happen or I don't know what we're going to do when this happens. No, we talk faith, and it works. So faith takes the promise. Jesus has defeated Satan, and we just have to get in there and resist him. Isn't that what the Bible says for us to do? Resist the devil, and what will he do? He'll flee. He won't just walk away. He'll run away. We say, Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. You shut your mouth. I'm not listening to that unbelief anymore. In Jesus' name. Amen. Talk to sickness. Somehow something flu. Okay, the flu's going around. What do people do? Oh, we're having an epidemic. Flu epidemic. And then, next thing you know, I think I'm getting the flu. I'm taking the flu. Well, that is really dumb to take the flu. Instead say, I'll never have the flu. I don't ever get the flu. I don't ever have a cold. Don't say something you don't want to come to pass. That's your mouth is your face speaking. That's what you're opening the door to it. That's why cursing's so stupid. I'm not giving you any examples, but you can imagine. You speak bad words to things like your car. Call it all kind of names. It's the only car you got, and you're cursing it. That's just an example. So when Jesus saw that, when Jesus came back by the fig tree, it says in the Bible in Mark 11 that that tree had withered from the root. When he spoke to it and said, "No man eat fruit of you again forever," it went right to the root. Those words went right to the roots, dried up the roots, and then dried up the tree. That's the way things work in our lives. Say you're trying, you're endeavoring to get out of debt. Well, you get all those things together, all those bills, and you pray over them. You believe God. You believe your bill, the bills are paid, and you're out of debt. We did that. It worked. And then, on top of that, you quit borrowing money. Is that deep? To get out of debt, don't borrow money. So it works. It took us 11 months. We didn't have anything. This was back in the old days. We had a used car. We lived in a little project house. We didn't have really good clothes. We didn't have, we were just pretty broke, except we could buy groceries if I was real careful. And so that's when we began to hear the word. We began to walk with faith. And then we grew. And so it took us 11. We saw in the word, stay out of debt. Now, when you see something in the word like that, it's a good idea to do what it says. How many of you already figured that out? It's a good idea to obey when it says, stay out of debt. Okay, Lord, I won't borrow any more money. So that's what we did. We found it. We were endeavoring to, Ken was in right, you know, endeavoring to go in the ministry, and we were living in Tulsa. We didn't have anything, so we still said, well, we're not going to, we had an old car, and it was, we paid it off, but it didn't take much. And so we decided, well, okay, the Lord says, keep out of debt, and so that's what we'll do. And you know what it did? It didn't cost us anything. It made all things possible. Because then we learned how to live by faith, and we learned how to pay cash for things. That's the only way we're going to get it. We had to learn how to do it, and we did it. And that's the way it'll work. When you do what God says, the blessing's going to be on it. And when you don't do what he says, the curse is going to be on it. The only way we live blessed, all of us live blessed in this life, is to obey the word of God. If he says stay out of debt, stay out of debt. And of course, back in those days, we didn't know anything either. Ken wanted an airplane. He needed an airplane like he needed a hole in the head, but anyway, that's what he wanted. I wanted a new house, both of them big ticket items, or even a good house would have worked. And so it took a while, but you know, we decided, okay, we're not going to borrow any more money. We're not going to do this, and we're not going to do that if we saw it in the Word. And it, how long does it take you to pay off a house? Long time. You can believe for the cash before you can pay off a house. And we found that out. And so we did it. We did it again. And then, you know, you start out what you can do, but then we ended up, before too many years, building the house we wanted. It was a very expensive, nice house. We paid cash for it. We believed God for it. You buy a car, you pay cash for it. Well, I don't have cash. Well, that's what prayer's for. You're supposed to ask God in the name of Jesus and use your faith. Lord, I'm asking you for a so-and-so. You need to ask him, be specific. I'm asking you for a so-and-so kind of car. And I need this, and I believe I receive it. And now the word receive there, when Jesus said, believe you receive it and you'll have it, means to take. This will help. This really helped me. It means to take. So when you believe, you ask God for something, you believe you receive it, you realize that word is take it. So now we've learned how to, when we ask for something, we don't wait and see what happens. We take it when we pray. We believe if I'm asking for, let's say I'm asking for a new car. And I have a certain car that I want. And I ask the Lord for it. And I say, Lord, I thank you for it. I'm asking you for this car or this house or whatever it is. And I believe I receive it and I take it. See, the word actually does mean take. When you pray, you take it. That's faith. And it works. It works. Ken and I have done everything that we've been told to do, and it was a lot. When the Lord wakes you up one morning and says, I want you to go on every available voice on television, and you got no money much, you can't run away from him because he'll go with you. So you gotta bite it off. But you know you don't have but one or two of those big victories, and you figure out, this thing is doable. We can do this. We can pay cash for this. We can go on 500 television stations, even though right now we don't know how. We believe we receive it, and we can do it. It just works. But you have to commit to it. And you have to have a steady diet of the Word of God to live by faith, because that's how faith comes, by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you just try to do it on positive confession, you don't have the power behind it. But if you act on scriptures, get scriptures that promise you the things that you're asking for, and believe you receive it, like Mark 11 says, when you pray, take it when you pray. I believe I receive it when I pray now, Lord. I have it. I thank you for it. I have my new house. It's paid for. It took 11 months, but how long does it take to pay a house off? A lot longer than 11 months. Just make one big payment and that's it. Glory to God. Instead of a 40-year loan, you could believe for cash. Yeah, but I don't know how. Well, I know you don't know how. Don't you think God knows how to do that? He could make you a millionaire 100 times over without even losing any sleep over it. It's the truth. I'm not just telling you something we haven't done for about 50 years. It works. We went on. The Lord told Kenneth to go on every available voice. Well, that is a lot of money. And we endeavored to do it. We ended up with a big bill every month when we went on television like that. And did, you know, but God saw us through it. He told us to do it. He helped us to do it. That's the way you have to do, though. You can't be weak. If you want to live in big victory, you got to take big steps. So faith takes a promise. Jesus, he told that fig tree, no man eat fruit of you again forever. And when he came by the next day, that tree was dried up, not from the top. Bible says it dried up from the roots. And the disciples saw it. It's not what we know that counts, it's what we actually do and say. You can know how faith works, but if you don't work it, it's not going to work for you. If you work it, you step on out. Now, Ken was bolder than I was. I mean, he would believe for the moon if the Lord told him to. I'd probably wait a few days and watch, but anyway. It works. Faith works. It's not what we know that counts, but what we actually do and say. 1 John 5, 1 through 5 says, faith is the victory. It says, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Well, that would be the world and everything in the world. Faith will overcome it. That's like, works for sickness and disease. It works for material things. It works for children. Break the power of the devil if you've got children that are away from God, not living right, break the power of the devil over them, believe you receive their salvation and deliverance, and ask the Lord to put laborers into their paths, and you believe you receive it. I take it. I take his salvation. I believe, Lord, that you'll help me in this and you'll get laborers across his path. I believe for him to be delivered from drugs, to be healed and whole. Say, well, I don't know if that works or not. No, you'll never know. But if you'll do it, you'll find out it works. Amen? So we have to stand our ground, and we have to live by faith if we want to live in victory. If you don't live by faith, you won't be living in victory. You might have plenty of money, but you won't have victory. You might have a well-built body, but you won't have victory. So it's just a choice. Do we want to dedicate and sell out, or do we just want to do the best we can do in the natural? I like the one that says, let's let God have his way in our lives. Amen? It works. It's not what we know that counts, but what we actually do. Hallelujah. So Romans 10:6-17 says, faith hears, faith speaks and takes, and Mark 11 says, faith believes the word. Psalm 139 says this. Now, you know how when we are learning to live by faith, we learn to not speak negatively and not say things that we don't want to come to pass? Ken and I, if we don't want it, we don't say it, because we know the Bible teaches you can have what you say. That's Mark 11. So faith believes and speaks and takes it. When we pray over something, we believe we receive it. And that word receive is to take in the Greek. We take it. We take it. We take our healing. We take salvation for this person we're praying for, or whatever it is. We take it when we pray. We stand on it. We thank God for it continually. Everything doesn't always happen instantly. You know, people didn't get in that mess in 2 days. It might take 6 months to get out of something, or a year, or whatever. But you can come out if you'll stay in faith, whatever it is. So faith speaks and takes it. And we learned from Mark 11 that we can have what we say. So we had to learn how to keep our mouth from talking unbelief and doubt and being discouraged. So faith believes the word. And then, you know, after a while, the Lord showed me this scripture in the Bible, because it seems like, at first, when you start watching every word, it seems like, how can you do this? And just never say anything negative. Never say anything you don't want to come to pass. You can do it. And then I saw this scripture later in the Amplified, Psalm 139:1-4. It says, God knows every word, every side of the whole of it. 139:1-4 in the King James and the Amplified. God knows every word that we speak. He hears every word that we speak. So every time you talk unbelief, you know, you pray and ask for something, and then you get discouraged and you say, well, this is not ever going to come to pass. I've had this cough for 6 months. I guess I'll just live with it the rest of my life. I guess you will too at that. God knows every word. He hears you when you believe you receive your healing. Thank you, Lord. I rebuke the situation off my body. I believe I receive my healing, and I give you praise for it. Now, the word receive in the Greek means to take. So I just took my healing. I take my healing. I have it. I'm healed. And I don't say anything different. This is the way Ken and I live. We don't say anything different. We rarely ever get sick, but if we do, that's what we do. We take it. Or if we feel something coming on, we have a cough or we get a cold or something, we take authority over it and we tell it to get out of our body. And I might lay hands on my head and say, you're healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. You say, well, that's fanatical. Yes, but it's nice to be healed. You'll like it. If you try being a fanatic on the Word of God, you're going to like it. Glory to God. You ask for things, you believe you receive it. When you pray and you get it, it's fun. You believe you receive your healing and you get it, it's fun. Hallelujah. So faith hears, faith believes the Word, faith speaks and takes it. We take it, we pray. You don't leave it on the table. You take whatever you're asking for. And then in Psalm 139 said, God knows every word, every side of the whole of it. So God does watch. He pays attention to our words. He knows what you say out of the abundance of your heart. Your mouth speaks. Isn't that what the Bible says? So it's no secret what's down in here. Unbelief in here, unbelief out here. Faith in here, faith out here. It's just that easy. And you can do it if you will. Faith receives and it takes, it possesses. Glory to God. Now, faith works by love. If you want to be a receiver, you must be a lover. You must walk in love. What is love? Well, love is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love never fails. That's what the scripture says. So when you walk in love and you forgive, and you don't hold things about against people, and you let it go. Somebody does you wrong, pray for them, let it go, and you're free. Keep it, and it'll torment you. Okay, so that's what you do. Love, and faith works by love. If you want to be a receiver, you must be a lover. Glory to God. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, preach the word in good times and bad. Our hold to the word. That's what we're talking about here. We hold to what God says in his word. We believe it and we take it. And 2 Timothy 4:7 talks about faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Faith is faithful to the end. When do you quit believing God? Not ever. Not ever. Well, what if I die believing God? Then you don't have any problems. Unless you never made Jesus the Lord of your life. If you didn't make Jesus the Lord of your life, if you made him the Lord of your life and you die, you ought to make that while you're alive. You ought to make that choice. Jesus is the Lord of my life. And when I leave this body, I'm going up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I'll meet you up there if you'll do what you want to and do what's right. Glory to God. So we walk by faith and not by sight. Glory to God. Sickness and disease, let's just talk about that a moment. Word says, he bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. And by his stripes we were healed. So when he bore our sins, Jesus bore our sins, he bore the whole curse. The scripture teaches us that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. That included, in Deuteronomy 28, every sickness and every disease is under the curse. If they come up with a new disease, it's under the curse. Jesus, the scripture said, was made a curse for us, and he bore that curse for you and me so that we don't have to bear it. Now, we can bear it if we want to. We don't have to believe God. But I've, like some fiddler said, I've been rich and I've been poor, and rich is better. I've been sick and I've been well. And well is better. Ken and I, we don't mess around. If we have a symptom of something, we jump on it with the word of God. And we believe we receive our healing. We thank God that he himself bore our sicknesses, carried our diseases. And by his stripes, we were healed. You would be surprised how few times in our whole adult life we've had to go to a doctor. We stay well. We stay well on the word of God. Well, and the scripture says the word's medicine to your flesh. If you want to get well and stay well, get in the word. Read it every day. Say, well, I just don't have time. Well, how long does it take you to go to the hospital and be operated on? It's a truth. That's what happens. So if you'll just get on your faith and you'll get in the word and put it in your eyes and your ears, get it in your heart, let it come out your mouth, you can walk in victory where finances are concerned, where your healing's concerned, where your family's concerned. If you've got a child that's not living right and you're upset about it, go to the Lord. Break the power of the devil over that boy or girl and receive, believe for their salvation and deliverance. And ask the Lord to put laborers across their path. And you'll get them. You'll get them. See what I'm shutting down here, but what we got to get a grip on is that faith works. The Lord listens to us when we pray in faith. If you're going to moan and groan in unbelief, I can't guarantee you he'll listen. But he will listen to the prayer of faith. You say, well, I don't know how to pray. Well, that's probably true, but get busy and find out. Get in a good church. It preaches the word of God to you. Get
Ken and I learned how to live by faith listening to Brother Hagin. He taught us how to live by faith. We've taught lots of other people how to live by faith. And we learned how to get out of debt, stay out of debt, to be healed. And we resist sickness and disease. Ken is, I'm 76 and he's 70. He's 80. He had his 80th birthday. So he's 80. Do you know that neither one of us have any prescription drugs? And haven't had all these years because of this word right here. Glory to God. Okay, you better do it. Because you don't want to end up sick, broken down. Get on your faith. Be strong in the word. Do right. Eat right. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for that life-giving word and for the impartation of faith. And just saying, Kenneth Copeland is 80 years old. He's in Africa right now, flying across continents. He's still a pilot, flying, you know, and just going for it. It's amazing, isn't it? And God has great things for you. And one of the things that was coming to me as Gloria was sharing was Acts 2:8 says, ask of me, and I will give to thee the heathen for your inheritance. And I just feel that as we apply faith, even for the harvest, and that there are people maybe in your lives who do not know Jesus yet, but as you receive their salvation by faith, that God's word will go to work on their behalf. And I just feel this word for you is that there is no one too far away from God, living too far away, that can't be drawn. It's just one revelation away. But as you stand in the gap and receive them, the Lord promises to bring them to himself. And so just use your faith for the glory of God to bring in the harvest, to see souls set free, to live the life of abundance that God has given. Amen? You can be seated just for a moment. I want to give something away.
For more information about Patricia King Ministries, visit us online at patriciaking.com. We look forward to building relationship with you. patriciaking.com.